In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's readings, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are cautioned against doing good deeds for the wrong reasons. So in Matthew, it says that those who make a big show out of giving to the poor, those who pray in front of everyone, those who, when they are fasting, try to look deprived, they are storing up treasures on earth, seeking accolades from other people rather than serving God with humility. This sort of makes me think about people who put their names on buildings on college campuses, hoping that people will say how good and generous and righteous they are. I kind of think they're missing the mark. It's more like selfish generosity, if that makes sense. Now, Isaiah puts forth the same idea, but in a way that feels a little bit more accessible, I think, to me. So in it, we hear God narrating human feelings. Like people are praying to him, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" It's kind of, I can imagine the whining tone that goes along with that, can't you? Kind of like, "Hey, we're being good, we're following the rules, why won't you reward us?" But God is not fooled. Essentially, he says, "Yep, you are following the law, but you're still acting selfishly. Even while you're observing a religious fast, you are oppressing other people, you are fighting, you are striking people." And he goes on, "Are you following the spirit of the law? Are you acting like a true servant? Or are you bowing down your head, lying in sackcloth and ashes to put on a good show?" Clearly, more concerned with other people seeing your piety than with actually being humble. Then we hear this description of God's preference for how we should fast. And it's interesting because it mentions tasks that I do not typically associate with fasting. Things like fighting injustice, freeing those in bondage, giving to others, and being a loving member of a family. It says that when we observe that kind of fast, two big things are going to happen. Our light, the light of God that is inside all of us, shall rise in the darkness and shall break forth like the dawn. We get to share that light then with the community. The other thing that will happen is healing shall spring up quickly. So when we practice that kind of fast, we are actually going to heal our community, and we will see it happen quickly. And God goes on to promise that when we follow the spirit of the law, fighting injustice, freeing those in bondage, being generous, and loving others, God will reward us. God will be our vindicator, defending us and protecting us when we need it. God will be our rear guard. He has our back and will be a constant support in times of trouble. God will answer when we call. When we need help, God's response will be, "Here I am." God will guide us continually, taking us further down the path toward a true and generous life. God will satisfy our needs, ensuring that we have what we need to help us live into our purpose. And God will make us strong, empowering and encouraging us for the work that is to be done. So how does this fit in with Ash Wednesday? Well, it reminds us that when we leave here with ashes on our forehead, those ashes alone do not make us good Christians. There are lots of people who had ashes on their foreheads today. You may have seen some of them walking around. That doesn't make us part of a special club of good people who are better in some way or another. Rather, ashes indicate that we have accepted a special responsibility, that we are called on to serve in a significant way, that we are chosen for the hardest work of all, to follow Christ's example. God charges us to do for others what God will do for us. We are called to be a vindicator or defender for those who need it. We are called to be the rear guard for others, to have their backs in times of trouble. We are called to answer when someone reaches out for help. We are called to guide the children and others in our care so they can learn how to follow Christ. We are called to satisfy the needs of others, offering companionship, friendship, and caring for those who have no one else. We are called to build up others around us, empowering them to live lives of service. Now that is a tall order. Being Christian is not for the faint of heart. This is not easy. So much is asked of us that it can feel impossible. But remember all those folks with ashes on their foreheads today? They are our companions on the journey, during Lent and beyond. We are charged with the same mission. We are all sharing this road. None of us is alone in this work. So now let's think about what fasting during this Lenten season might look like. Should we lie in sackcloth and ashes, looking woebegone and deprived? Should we tell others what we've given up and lament how hard it is? Should we remind others how good we're being? Or should we speak up when someone is being ignored or bullied? Should we try to be more patient with that family member who challenges us? Should we reach out to an older neighbor we haven't seen in a while? Now is the time to go out and seek companions on this journey. Now is the time to work for God and let our light break forth like the dawn. Now is the time to serve humbly and to witness the healing that springs up about us. Matthew reminds us that when we follow this path, serving as God would have us, God, who sees in secret, will reward us. Amen.